Focus and Ominous and our Mage of the Awakening Chronicle Into the West. We return back to Craig and Theodosia, Solace in Darkness, as she descends into the underworld in search of an anchor of the God Machine. Man, this sounds like a mage thing. But quick shout out to all our patrons, followers, subscribers, all y'all who support the channel, but specifically patrons, because I haven't handy little list of your names. Thank you to 1D4Con, James, Adele, Alice, Alexander, Alsred, Alu, Bernie, Chris, Doc, Emil, Jeff, George, Catfeathers, Klaus, Meteor V Bunny, Milo V3, Moku, Mozart D Minor, Nick, Other Guy, Perry, Foog, Polkadot, Hubris, Puppeteer, Riafio, Shexar, Starfish, Terran, The Nowhere King, This Is Hype, Thomas, Tom, and Vortex. Thank you all so much for your support. We appreciate it. So Solace was in a tableau deep within the underworld where she had inserted herself into the story, not as one of the primary actors of the tableau, but the sister-in-law or no, sister.
Sister.
Yep. And trying to distract from the domestic family trauma and drama that was going on, resulting in the death of at least one person before the tableau resets. She, stopped a killing at a pub, but then time wore on and on, and the child was born, the infidelity revealed, and blood was spilled yet again before we had the proverbial record scratch, rewind, and return to the public house. Now looking more like a actual pub, maybe on a London street corner somewhere. And well-to-do Victorian era folks step in and are drinking happily, and I will kind of pause there to see if Theodosia Solace takes a different tact.
Yeah, I have a couple of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll try the nice one first.
Sure.
This time going through the tableau, still looking to interrupt that kiss.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's going to be flirting a lot with the husband.
Oh, okay. Interesting. And we'll do a die roll here. What is the intent here? What is the plan?
The intent is to not make him not begrudge his wife, I guess, is her infidelity.
Ah, okay. All right.
Like giving him an infidelity of his own, kind of. Sure.
A dalliance. Really a dalliance thing, for a dalliance.
But, yeah, it's not really Theo's thing, but
mm-hmm.
The only other option I had was. The only other option I had was very not nice. So.
Sure. We'll start with the nice thing. So in that case, I guess that's probably going to be manipulation plus I was going to say subterfuge, but I could see also empathy. I guess persuasion with manipulation. I could see all three of those, and then you can add your striking looks, because even playing this role, but it is definitely going to be manipulation because this is sly, and this will reflect your overall efforts, not just this one attempt.
And I don't remember what striking looks give me.
It has been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah. Been a while since I've had that.
Mm-hmm. Doing a quick search through the book. Well, thank you for the example of striking looks the merit. Yes, on page 89. so many references to it, but not actually. There we are. And you had the plus two, so it is a plus two on any social roles that could be influenced by those looks.
Okay. Is this worthy of willpower?
I mean,
like I can throw willpower into it?
Yeah, you always can. Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Two successes. Oh, wow. Only two manipulation? I guess it's true. Yeah. That you never used your striking looks before. It was just more of the curse that you were given. So, okay. But yeah, two successes. Yeah, there is some flirting and teasing. And, you know, this is more of a modern era for you. But... Mm-hmm. It is also a very different culture. It is very, you know, it's London, but it's still playing the roles, right? It's not a historically accurate representation so much as
and this is the specific story. It's a class of stories, right?
Right. That's why exactly.
The conversations are a little bit muddled, and yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so you kind of draw the husband away, distract him, and the story progresses, and yeah, there's definitely an infidelity that you don't even really so much experience as know happens.
It just happened. Good.
Yep. And the story progresses. Theodosia Solis does not partake in something so much as plays the role, and we see all the like on the screen kind of events of the scene, mm-hmm. which is basically the beginning of this affair. The affair is known to happen, and then we pick up within the tableau the birth of the child, and again, you know, blonde hair when, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, whatever. And there is still the jealousy, there is still the anger, there is still the bloodshed.
Sister, and my feeling from being as a participant in the story is the sister does love this other guy.
Yeah, there is a definite, like, she is already pregnant. He is still around, and yeah. She's still giving him wink winks and, you know, flirty looks. Okay. So it's not like this was a one-time thing and she feels shame, or either of them feel shame about it, but... Yeah.
You're fine.
Folks, Halloween at home,
night. Dog is losing her mind.
it is Halloween. We are dating the episode. So there may be some extra disruptions on our All Hallows Eve festivities here.
All right. So I think this time at the night in that first night,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll just introduce a little nightshade into the husband's beer.
Very good. I'm not going to even have you roll. We are inflicting death, and we are a 6-dot death arcmaster. This is the nightshade is for show. You know, snap a finger, this guy dies. And so yeah, a little concoction, a proper witch's brew. Well, like you said, probably just some nightshade or other poison. And the man is...
Just a symbolism of it is all I really
need. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Fun fact, nightshade, also potatoes. Same family. Who knew? The man is gone and broken. Time progresses forward to a funeral. A sad day, the cheating couple, because call a spade, sit together, console each other. Time passes, the child is born. There is some guilt there, but the child is safe. The father and mother are safe. And it's not a pretty picture. But the tableau breaks apart.
Okay.
And you find yourself on the stony, rocky shore of No, it's not the edge of the Ouroboros, because... Wait, actually, maybe it is. Because the... Ocean of Fragments, that's it. And Thomas Elliot is there with Weeping Hunter, and they're both kind of propped up on, you know, a large rock, and he's very, very cowboy. He's got, you know, his legs crossed, he's got the cowboy hat down over his eyes, and then there's the soft crunch of, you know, slippered or bare feet from Solace and the tableau gone. He kind of tilts the hat up and gives you a smile, and well, it wasn't too long.
Good. I wasn't sure how long I was in there.
And he kind of looks up, and like, it's very much the mockery of looking for the sun, right?
He's, yeah, yeah.
But he says, about an hour.
Oh, way better than I thought. Is there any residue, anything left behind from the tableau collapsing?
There are fragments of things. There's a knife. There is a ring. There is a few other archetypal pieces that feel like they would belong to that tableau, the standard props of the plot. But otherwise, no, most of it kind of fades into ectoplasm and the stuff of the underworld, and, you know, some kind of ghostly wisps drawing off into the air. Thomas gives the things a look. Sorry, Craig, could you just say something real quick?
Yes, check. Test.
Okay. just one of those moments. Thomas looks at the items there, and you can see he's weighing whether or not he wants to go collect them himself. But, like, he is weighing the pros and cons of them.
You will, you know, say, help yourself if you want them, if they're of any use to you.
They could be of use, but I don't know if I want to carry those kind of burdens.
Do they have potential for... I'm having a brain fart. Quintessence?
Absolutely. Yeah, these are the icons of this particular tableau. I mean, this is a knife that represents, like, estranged... Well, the knife represents a jealous murder. The ring is some, you know, estrangement or betrayal. You know, very much... It wouldn't be, like, one of your bigger workings, but, yeah, for a smaller dynamic spell, these could potentially work, yes.
I think I want to gather them then.
Okay. And he kind of gives you a look. And again, because he's trying to figure you out, right? He's kind of figured out that you're a witch, a mage, but he doesn't seem to have any real understanding of what that is, other than you do magical things outside of the Sin Eater purview. So, my question, just, and this is mostly flavor, do you collect them and put them in a bag, or just by nature of the Arc Mastery and stuff, do you just kind of put them into your golden road?
And they just put them in, yeah.
Pick them up.
Pass a hand over them and they just kind of vanish. And
yeah. Yeah, pick them up, you know, kind of give them the once over to make sure you know and you're clear what you're putting in. And this stuff is definitely stained with the underworld. You're used to working with ghostly objects, things of the dead, things in twilight. This stuff has, similar to geists, like Weeping Hunter, this has got this extra residue on it. It is very heavily death themed, or the term they use in geists a lot is never born, right? So this is something that it did technically come down from above, but this knife never existed up there. This was made in the underworld. And you're like, oh, okay, I get why Thomas might not want to carry this around. This is heavy laden.
Like a almost like a funhouse reflection of a betrayal knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he kind of stands up, dusts himself off, and says, well, that's one.
I should have known better than to hope I would get lucky. What do you know of the domain of Orcus?
Well,
and I think she's looking off into the distance at the domain of Orcus.
Yeah.
Does she ask that question?
He kind of smirks and goes, well, now see, you almost got me talking. There's a bit of payment I'm owed first.
Theo sighs, and I would have thought you understood by now that I will be, of course, compensating you. Does every interaction we have need to be transactional?
Oh, I'm happy to talk. That's cheap. And points at the tableau. But you owe me a key.
True. You have one that I can have a look at?
Well,
I need to get the flavor right, I believe.
Says, if I had a key of grave dirt.
He said he had a key already.
Mm-hmm. If I had a key of grave dirt, then I wouldn't need another.
Right, but if you let me see one of the keys that you do have, that'll give me some valuable insight in forming another one.
He nods. He's like, and I understand that. Well, sure. And he stands back. And he motions at himself, and then he motions at Hunter in Darkness. We are keys. We bear innate keys. We would like others.
Hold still.
And he stands there in that, like, still half gesturing to Hunter in Dark, the Weeping Hunter.
I'm not sure how much awareness you have, but this may feel odd. And I'm going to scrutinize them.
Yep. Yeah. And everything you've ever scrutinized has always had some kind of reaction because you are pushing mana in and out and over their pattern. And he's definitely giving you this look because he can't see anything, but it's an intense gaze, like, and yeah, scrutiny takes a matter of seconds, but it's still an intense, like, there's the squinting at somebody from across the room, there's getting up in their face, and then there's don't mind me, I'm just going to push mana through every aspect of you, your atoms, your soul, your entire pattern, and doing so, like, he pauses in that, like, don't move thing for comedic effect, but immediately kind of draws back a little and is looking down. He's trying to see what he's feeling and he can't. I'm not going to make you roll. This is, especially with death six, this is something that you understand pretty dang well, and can get the, we'll say the vibe of those crew. Sorry, me scrolling through the book here, your keys, I will tell. Well, no, I'll keep this flavorful. Thomas seems to have this kind of. I mean, you understand who he is as a sin eater, you know, he's a dead guy who's also alive and stuff like that. But then you kind of get the vibe of chance and luck and putting something on the line, you know, betting it all, or, you know, something like that was related to his death, you know, the one in a million chance kind of stuff. And then, unsurprising, the Weeping Hunter with his big claw mark across his chest has a very savage animal. It kind of reminds you a little bit of Petrichor, you know, dog eat dog savagery kind of flavor to them.
And I'm able to identify the keys that they have in their pattern.
Those are effectively the innate keys that they have. Mm-hmm. Like when you compare them, especially because they're not one being, but they're really, really close to it. And be they like, have a
close mm-hmm. connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, technically Weeping Hunter is sitting where Thomas's soul should be. You know, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
But spotting the two little differences, okay, that is that key of chance, and then the key of beasts. And then Thomas said that he wants a key of grave dirt.
Which, if I'm understanding that right, would be earth, burial.
Stone.
Mm-hmm. Stone. Scrutiny you over. Solas will blink a couple times and say, do you want it external to you or as part of you?
He smiles as much as I would like to have it inside me, and like you can see there's the twitch of his, you know, lips, and like he's like, I'm not gonna make that joke. I think external would be the more normal method, and kind of scuffs at the sand and dirt that he's standing on, and I think any of this might work just fine.
I don't think I can just grab a hunk of underworld dirt and do it, can I? I feel like it needs to have something else, like one of the ghosts that's being consumed, like sinking into the...
So, I mean, because technically all of this is made from ghosts, right? You know, everything within the underworld is built from...
Go lie down. Go lie down. She doesn't understand why people aren't freaking out. There's people at the door. And correct me if I'm wrong. This is just sort of Craig's view, but I feel like the essence of something in the process of being buried would be useful for forming a key of burial. But maybe I don't. Maybe I can't just use the underworld dirt.
Using that as the, I would say you're right on the quintessence needed,
mm-hmm.
but the actual thing that gets turned into a key could be almost anything. Mechanically speaking, usually these are handled by mementos that are representative of different things. So like, for instance, something pulled from an old actual like burial, like a king's tomb or something like that, might be very much a grave dirt key, as opposed to, you know, a tooth from a, you know, big beastie would be a key of beasts.
I don't know if I have a spell for this exactly, but maybe a spontaneous casting. Theo's going to kneel down and place a hand against the ground And I want to do like a kind of like what I did on the hill the other day, like a while back. But I want to do a ping through the earth for any artifacts from the upper world, like from the right, that may have ended up in the underworld and buried.
Twice buried. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Basically looking for material detritus that has
You know, somehow didn't get scavenged but ended up being added over the, and it would have been a long time, I think, down here to get actually buried by.
Depends how quickly it falls into the into the river. But yeah, then to be buried, yeah, it could be pretty old. The short answer is you definitely find something. What do you think it might be?
I like the idea of a skull.
Oh, see, now that would be something that probably would never make its way down here, right? Because,
like, yeah, it's got to be a thing, right? So he's a cowboy. How about an old rusty gun?
Sure. It probably hasn't been down here very long, but I do like the idea of
Okay, so
I do like that idea of like, oh yeah, let me find this thing. And you know, it's probably some older pattern, you know, style gun.
Literally like an old black powder.
Yep. Yeah. That's exactly where I was thinking. I like the idea of you putting your hand down and kind of like extending your senses, so to speak, and then
it just sort of bubbles up,
little tremor, and it just kind of works its way out, and then like the hand dipping into the dirt to grab it and pull this thing out. And yeah, at the moment it is some old Napoleonic era. Hang on, Napoleon? Would that be? Yeah. Era, you know, like cavalry, what were they called? The dragoons? You know, pistol.
Okay. Now, how do I... Craig doesn't know. I know we identified that it's something that I could do.
Yeah.
Is this going to be like an imperial magic sort of thing?
No. And that's what we took a minute to go through. Imperial magics would be to find an existing key and change what it does, or to change the way Sin Eaters work. And that was the thing I got caught up on. At the end of the day, what you are doing is making something, which is well within the realms of matter, death, and prime. You don't have matter 5, but that's fine. You just pulled out a gun. You have the physical thing that you need, the matter side of it. So this is, you know, death and prime making.
Right. So we're in the 1857.
Mm-hmm.
So like matchlock pistols first started appearing around the 1530s.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be, this is going to be a few hundred years old. Or 300 years old, thereabouts. With matter, it would be easy for me to just imbue the underworld soil into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Patterning it more after that. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And then death to actually make it the key. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. And just to give Craig a heads up, I'm not too worried about a role here, right? You have the time, you're not in a big rush, definitely takes you a few minutes, and I think for Thomas on his end, he's watching and trying to figure out what is happening as Solace sits and tries to figure out quite how to do it, because for all your gnosis and all the arcana that you have for it, right, never done this before. You know how it should be done. It's baking a new recipe without the recipe, right? I've baked all sorts of stuff.
It's making a chocolate chip cookie when I'm looking at a peanut butter cookie, basically, right?
That also true. Yeah. You've made tons of other, and I was more of the, you've made tons of other cookies. This is just your first time trying to make chocolate chip cookie without the recipe. You know how a bunch of these other things are done. I should just be able to add chocolate chips in here and it should come out just fine. And I'd probably say like half an hour of studying this, kind of vibing with the Arcana, looking over Thomas and Weeping Hunter, probably asking, to be real, hey, this grave dirt thing, what is it besides just grave dirt, right? What does it do? What does it mean? Because with the power of, Death and Prime, you could technically possibly make keys that don't exist if you had enough time and effort. But in this case, we're factoring it into a thing that does already exist.
And my read on it is I don't necessarily need to do, like, I don't necessarily need to give this thing a specific imbuement. I just need to give it the essence so that he can do what he does with it.
Essence probably is the wrong term because right. But yes, you are creating the thing. This is very close to and I'm basing this off of the idea of crafting fetish from spirit, which is spirit right. Four, where now in that case it's grab a spirit, shove it in the thing, and it does its thing. This is kind of a similar idea where it's like, here is the thing that represents something, these keys, and you're just kind of bypassing the whole it needs to be a memento and it's pulled from a ghost or anything like that. This is a thing found in the underworld, and I'm just giving it a little helpful boost,
a nudge into the next stage.
That said, this one needing to be indefinite, you will need to probably give up a willpower dot.
I will give up a willpower dot.
And I think that is probably, and this is something I did not warn Craig about in advance, but I think this is also where Solace goes, I can do this a bunch, but eventually I'm going to run out and need to have to figure something out in terms of how to relinquish these, which I will remind Craig, because Solace knows there are other ways to relinquish spells, but they have other costs.
I'm aware.
That done, Thomas now all of a sudden has three guns and two holsters, and fashions.
That's his problem.
Right? Yeah. And fashions that kind of crossbody piratical, pistol tucked into the bandolier across his chest, with a satchel, and, pats it and goes, well, that's payment made. And like he's literally kind of astounded that, like, not that you could do it, but that it worked, if that makes sense, right? It's like, you said you could do it, okay, but hey, this is actually the real thing. So
we Orcus, need to talk a little, Thomas, before yes. we get into the next thing. You need to know that that cost me a great deal to produce.
He nods.
If we're going to be needing one of these every time you help me, that's not going to work. But I understand that this gives you access to not insignificant amounts of power, and it did cost me quite a bit to make it.
Understood.
So maybe we can adjust the terms of our bargaining moving forward.
All right. Yeah, let's we can discuss that. Before I take you to the next tableau. But you did ask me a question.
I did.
And he turns with you to look over towards the forges. And he nods and kind of gives you this look. Because again, you know some things, but then don't know other things. And it's kind of surprising. It's like, oh yes, advanced algebra, no problem. Basic arithmetic, I'm a little fuzzy on it. It's like, how? But, you know, different sources of stuff. And he points to the rather large forge in the distance and says, yep, that's the forges of Orcus. Nasty piece of work, but at the same time, useful.
They make weapons out of ghosts, if I remember correctly.
Weapons do tend to be the favored good, but they'll make almost anything you ask.
Or what price?
And that would be and kind of nods down to his own pistol, right? And says, whatever you can afford and probably regret paying.
Very underworld vibe. This whole place is like that.
he nods. Yeah. The underworld just takes.
Have you been to the forge?
He nods. A couple times. They don't have overly strict rules about coming and going. Staying, however, is... well, that's the pricey matter. Quite a few... I think he says folks, but you know he means ghosts. They're missing limbs, bits of them, to go into the machine for stamping things out.
How do you feel about the forge in general?
Well, you asked. I don't hate it. It's not the best place, but it's not deceptive. They tell you right up front what you're buying and what you're going to pay. For a lot of the ghosts in there, sure, they've given up parts of themselves, but now they're safe. They don't have a day-to-day toil and struggle and will I get enough to eat? They've got their afterlife kind of sewn up, but it's a afterlife of toil with part of them missing. You can see like the very clear, you know, he is a cowboy, like the idea of working at a forge versus out on the road and traveling and being free. Yeah, it's he says, but I got a buddy who's got a rifle from there. And it works like a dream.
That would certainly be useful down here.
Down here or up there?
Well, at the risk of revealing too much, maybe I won't have to completely demolish it.
You're going to remove a dominion? I'm not saying I don't believe you capable of it. I've decided to stop underestimating your capabilities. But at the same time, that feels like something that's going to have consequences.
Yeah. Hopefully it won't be necessary. I didn't come down here to completely disrupt the underworld and its equilibriums. but I will if I have to. Okay, let's head towards the forge.
Like there's a look on his face, especially after talking about, oh, I might not have to demolish it. All right. And, you know, kind of dusts himself off and gets up and leads the way. It's not difficult. It's definitely a path you could have figured because amongst the darkness out here, you know, forge of, you know, red hot flames. And I mean, it's very similar to the, you know, fires of industry you've seen in London and heck, even the blacksmith in Purgatory Bluff.
My workshop for that matter.
That's true.
On a much larger scale.
Right. Well, I was thinking about it. I was like, I'm sure yours doesn't have a roaring fire, but you probably do actually like manually heat stuff because why not? So yeah, that's...
He has always been into the ritual of creation, right?
Yep. So. Yep. All right. Good stuff. So yeah, it is, it's a hike. You know, it's probably an hour or two trudging across the sand and dirt and grit. It definitely gets finer the closer you get down to the Ocean of Fragments, but Thomas does not veer that way at all. And there's a bit of a, well, it's not much of a to-do between the skills that y'all have, but you have to do cross back over the river again to make your way to the other side of the shore and carry on over to the forge. And you definitely feel it as you get closer because there is a definite heat coming off of it. And the sound is loud. You know, the big clanging of metal, you know, as a, but it's so odd because it doesn't echo anywhere, right? It's just the underground, not underground, the underworld, so yeah, vast.
It sort of snatches your voice away as you speak,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And especially because you've been in the mines, you're used to tunnels where a whisper is heard all the way down and you hear it for an hour just because it seems to just bounce around in there, and here stuff just and just dies away. But yeah, you get closer and you can see the great big entry with some mighty, they kind of remind you of the Guardian Geist, great big versions of them. Stereotype guards, but they don't look like the people anymore, right? These look like they've fully subsumed into their role as the Guardian. I cannot remember the name of our Guardian Geist up top side. But you've had a relationship with this guy, and he's a person underneath some of that underworld poison. These guys look like they're just nasty, spiky, forge for a heart suits of armor, right? The personality, the personhood is kind of gone. But they don't do anything to, you know, cause you to halt or anything like that. And Thomas feels fairly comfortable walking over to it. And there's a big sign. I was going to say in English, but I think it's probably just readable in all languages kind of thing. Some like language, proto language.
It's not a language. It's not like high speech, but it's sort of the equivalent. It's a sign of meaning.
Yeah. I like that. And it basically lists out the commands and rules of the Dominion, which I was looking and I cannot find any that actually exist. So I don't feel like I'm crossing any rules. But basically, to stay, you have to give payment. You put yourself into a work, and that is your payment for residency. And as a resident, to maintain residency, you work. And, you know, short of but that.
Travelers are permitted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people mm-hmm. are welcome to come and go. There's absolutely nothing restricting people leaving, even. Yeah, you can leave, but you're going to be missing part of yourself, right? You've already given that piece up.
Mm-hmm. And just for the record, Solas hates this place so much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is very much a perversion of Moro's, right? On the crafting side.
And she doesn't, I mean, she's not really cleaving to that role much anymore, but for a long time she was like an advocate for the dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is not really her role now, but she's not unsympathetic to the plight of the ghosts that end up here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know if I'll be able to see anything because the whole place is going to probably take up main site, but I'm looking for any kind of hint or clue of an anchor point or object as we're kind of walking around.
If you want to start looking for an anchor, probably going to have to do it with it.
Right, but travelers are allowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I was just making sure before I, you know, DM Fiat. So you walk through the door. Very good. Because you know how D&D players get when there's a door. Hold up, everybody.
Well, when the DM starts asking very specific questions,
how do you open the door?
Or you touch the door? Are you reaching for the handle?
Which way do you push the door? Panic! Okay,
very good. One of my games, I mean, the GM is like that. Starts asking very specific questions. Like, why are you asking?
This does not make me feel safe. Very good. So, yes, you pass through, past the guardians, who, again, don't seem to acknowledge your existence at all. It's just these big, heavy helmets, you know, flames kind of flickering up near the neck. Great vibes. Wrong vibes, but great vibes. And enter in and... Yeah, it is, to borrow the phrase, it is larger on the inside. The mm-hmm. exterior is a large fort, kind of the, is a large keep-sized building and construction, but inside it just opens up into layers of forges, different craft workbenches, and while, yes, it is called the forges, there's lots of areas that are, you know, not on fire,
yeah,
and working away. And I imagine you flip on the mage site immediately and be like, okay, what stands out, right? Because there's a lot of stuff to see here, and especially you're in the underworld and using death mage site or even matter mage site, pings on everything. What's the thing that stands out?
Can I add a two-part to that? I'm looking for what stands out, but I'm also looking for something that, like, decidedly is not, do you know what I mean?
It's not.
Like, a negative space, something that isn't pinging at all.
The missing thing.
Yes.
The absence. So
what stands out and what's missing.
I like that. So, looking through here, yeah, there's a lot going on. There's some of the stuff that Solas probably is not a big fan of. There's also some stuff that's like, wow, this is really good craftsmanship. There's a whole, you know, rack of weapons, armor, tools, even like a blacksmith hammer that definitely looks like it's been made out of somebody's femur, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay. I'd buy that if I didn't know what it cost to somebody else. Right. Besides what costs you would have to pay. And I would like a... You know, I was going to say wits and composure. And I'm still okay with that as kind of the classic perception check. But if you have another skill that you might want to bend towards this, I'm all ears.
How about death and composure?
Were you using death, I would rely more on your finesse traits or intelligence. Yeah, so okay. Intelligence or wits and death. So more of the leaning on the knowledge side.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll give that a shot.
All right. My brain broke for just a second. I was like, six modifiers. Oh, that's from death. Right. very good. So two successes. You do, you know, a once over and then a twice over, kind of walking through. And Thomas is trailing you a little bit. And you are deep in the, like, I'm looking around. And he is effectively fending off salespeople, for lack of a better term. And, oh, no, we're just looking. Oh, no, thanks. Oh, yeah, we know this is good quality. So you can kind of hear it in the background, you know, buzzes. You're just staring down everything, trying to get the vibe of what this place should look like as it is. And then, is anything missing? Is anything hidden? And then I need to ask for the classic Gnosis plus, in this case, death, as you clash. So, of course, your character does not know that clash is happening, but you yourself do. So if you do want to spend willpower, you're able to.
But as an Arc Master, I just succeed in Clash of Foes?
Usually, yes. So it shouldn't matter what you roll.
Sure. Okay. Gnosis and what?
Death. Because you're using
Gnosis and death
to scout the place out. did we throw some willpower on there?
Yeah.
So, podcast folks, that's six Gnosis, six death, three willpower for a total of 15 dice and 9 successes. So this is an exceptional success, which doesn't really matter too much in clashes of wills. As you kind of bend yourself towards looking at stuff, there is something veiled. Something in here that you cannot see. The problem is, as you push through this veiling so you can see it, frustratingly, there is no thing to see, right? Hold, please. I want to make sure I'm not a liar. Okay. It is well, I guess actually to use the Moros thing, I cannot see the air, but with my matter sight, I can see it. I recognize that it is there. Mm-hmm. This is kind of the same thing, but it's not matter, right? It is this, actually, I guess the other way to put it for the death side is, it's like me seeing essence, like, you know, mana you've seen congeal into tass and manipulate it, and there's ectoplasm. But essence by itself, you don't see it, you know, or it's a magic thing, right? There is a series of tendrils, web strands, I think might be the best way to, that seems to be touching just about everything here and all kind of drawing up into a great big like funnel up above,
like a web.
Mm-hmm. Though rather than a web that reaches around touch, think more of a tree in reverse. Roots. Yeah. It's a tree in reverse. Roots. Yeah. There's this big central thing and everything drawing down and touching. And some things seem to have a very light little touch of this gossamer nothing. And then other stuff has a more established, stronger hold. None of it seems, actually, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. Are you just using Death Mage Sight, or have you like turned them all on?
Prime and Matter.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Even Forces, actually.
Just do the whole thing. Yeah. No, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. The Prime side of things does pick up, besides the spell that was veiling all this stuff, whatever it is seems to be made up of prime and something else that you don't have an arcana for. So you're not entirely sure what it is. If you want to make a intelligence plus a cult check, I'm cool with that. But yeah, it seems to have little tendrils here, and other stuff is, you know, got a larger tendril, a larger, you know, spider web to it. Yeah. With an intelligence and a cult, three successes, it's giving kind of space vibes. It reminds you of conversations you've had with Legba about connections, and, you know, things being connected to other things. You are feeling pretty confident that this is probably an anchor.
The whole place?
No.
Because it seems, it's kind of, you said it's tied to everything here?
Think more of, think like a jellyfish grabbing hold of something, right? It has anchored mm-hmm. itself here. Looking up into the vast cavern of the underworld, and then it kind of disappearing. That's the anchor, and it has anchored itself to all these little things here in the forge. Notably, the objects that are in here, the surfaces, things like that, and only a few of the ghosts moving about.
Oh, it is possible to attack the anchor directly.
To what?
To attack the anchor directly.
Oh, yeah. And that's something that Rilla made very clear, that like, if you find them, you can destroy them. I would go so far as to say that like, you probably see some stuff like break the anchor, like as it's being moved around as one of the little thin ones, and it just gets snapped away as an object gets moved about. But these larger ones, like to the forges themselves, the big craft tables, those seem a little bit more sturdy.
So here's my dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
If I undo this, I'm tipping my hand.
Mm-hmm.
If there's more than one down here, which there probably is,
mm-hmm.
they can reinforce it and or establish new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just playing whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm. And to remind Craig, because it's been a minute since we talked to the architect, the goal was to see about locating anchors, see what they look like, scout things out, and then come back as a team to start making strikes, right? Now, whether or not you want to, you know, experiment with this one, strike this down. That is entirely on you, but that was the goal that architect Rilla had put forth.
So Thea will pull back into her awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Thomas and say, I mean, this is all very interesting, but nothing really that I'm looking for. Let's move on.
Like, especially because you've been silent for, you know, several minutes as you've, you know, looked around this place and finally located the anchor. And, yes. Okay, good. And like, it's like we came here and then we're just leaving. Sure. Yeah. And back out the way we go, fending off a couple more of the, you know, obsequious ghosts. You guys make your way back out into the very gloomy darkness of the underworld by the ocean.
A little worried about the, because somebody's going to know there was a clash of wills.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Mages know when their spells clash. Not necessarily who won. And in the case of a veiling spell, it's going to clash against a lot of stuff. Right, anything, because you showing up and using mage sight would clash, but any geist or ghost using something to reveal something that's hidden would also cause a clash.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So not so much that you are incorrect, just more that you are very focused in on, mage, but there's lots of stuff that could potentially clash. And you also don't know what thing clashed. It's the other aspect. So if they have, say, a lot of veiling spells on a lot of anchors.
Right. They might not know. They just know that something ping something. Okay. Let's walk a good distance away.
Yep.
And then I know what I want to do, but I don't know if I can do it with forces.
Sure.
I want to make my body permeable to photons.
I mean,
just effectively making myself invisible.
I mean, that is literally one of the base spells for forces. Okay. Though I think they technically talk about it bending light, but yes, and that is very much invisibility. It's forces two. Let's look over here, and we have forces four, so not a problem.
And then I'm just going to tell Thomas I'll be back in a minute. And I'm going to adjust gravity and go for a fly.
Okay, cool. It is a fairly short flight. You surge up over the top of Orcus's forge, the Forge of Orcus. And the anchor draws up. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, go ahead.
And then just kind of...
You scared me when you said short flight, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then it peters out.
Okay. Damn, I was hoping there might be, like, signs of other tendrils I could follow to other locations. But at least I know what I'm looking for now. Mm-hmm. Oh. Can I grab a piece of this?
Sure.
I want to grab a piece of this.
Okay. Do you have a preference on where you grab a piece from?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Just a small little piece.
Sure. It's not hard. Even just drawing in the air, floating over towards it, just putting your hand out draws and creates a little strand to your hand that as you watch, it starts to get thicker and just build up. And then you draw your hand away and it draws back, and you have nothing left on your hand.
That's what I wanted to try and like capture a piece of it and preserve it.
How do you want to do that?
Death and matter is about transitions. So I'm looking at it from that position, is like freeze that transition. Sort of stop it on the moment of it unwinding itself is kind of, and I'm not thinking from a temporal point of view, I'm thinking of a, because because it's fairly solidly anchored to me when I'm reaching out towards it. Mm-hmm. When I pull back, that it just sort of evaporates. Mm-hmm.
So you want to keep it from unanchoring, and you want it to remain anchored to you.
I don't necessarily want it to remain anchored to me, but I want it to be intact. Because I have a idea for a dynamic spell.
Sure. I'm going to be very blunt with Craig. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be creative. This is doable. It's just a question of how you want to do it. The particular one that you've put forward where it's like, oh, well, I don't want it to transition. Well, then it remains anchored to you. So you need to decide if that's something which you want to do, or if you want to come up with another method. I am reviewing your arcana alongside with you.
Okay, I just because I like the symbolism, Ollie doesn't need his skull anymore. I mean, it wasn't Ollie's skull.
Sure. It was his home for a while. Okay. Sure. Yeah.
So let's anchor it to the skull and preserve it there.
Okay, I'm on board with this, but that does mean that you will have and be walking around with a skull that is anchored to the god machine.
Yes.
Okay.
I am hopeful that given the myriad tendrils that are obviously coming from the god machine, that it will be a small little speck that might get overlooked.
Sure.
In the mass of cables and stuff that are running here.
I dig it.
But my plan is to, my idea is that I might be able to use that in a dynamic spell to try and map out where other things similar to this might be.
Okay. Okay.
But I need a sample of it to be like a locate object spell, basically. Mm-hmm. But I'm locating.
Yeah, but you don't have space, you don't have sympathy, so you have to work with what you do have. Sure. I'm with you. Okay. I'm just making sure we're on the same page with this. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that case, I do like the idea of a death shielding spell, basically preventing the detachment, right?
Yeah.
Be like, these things have attached, okay, and no matter where I go with this, you're just going to stay attached. Because there's no matter involved here. You're not dealing with elasticity or anything like that. Though I guess there's some metaphysical elasticity being involved because they do break at, you know, certain distances.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, not a problem. Draw all these skull out and here you go, boy. Here you go. And the little tendril latches in and like, as you are watching, like I said, gets thicker and more established over time. And then you just, you know, just lay that little, you know, magical, we'll say glue there and be like, and just don't become detached. Don't change. Don't end, I guess is probably the death way to say that. And then do that kind of experimental draw away and it stays attached. Though as you watch, the connection, because it is still there, continues to get stronger and thicker. There's no, you know, since you're not drawing it away, or it's rather it's not releasing, it just continues to get more established. And this is not a like the skull is being consumed before your very eyes, just more of a slow, gradual trickle kind of thing.
yeah, I'm going to want to let that go pretty quickly, I think. But, okay. Can you itemize for me the items I recovered from that tableau?
Sure. A handful of them. The two big ones being a knife and a wedding ring. And then other things that you might find useful from that tableau that might fit into the theme of... hang on here. What did I call this tableau?
Infidelity, betrayal, loyalty.
Mm-hmm. The murder over a bastard child.
Yeah, I don't know if that... The wedding ring, maybe? Symbolizing union?
Might want to... less betrayal tied ring.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, maybe that because I'm looking for a dynamic spell that's going to be betray secrets.
Now, see, now we're thinking. I did that. Yeah.
Is that ring going to be enough?
Well, tell me what is the imago? What are you envisioning with this dynamic spell?
I'm envisioning to honor Legba a little bit. Bloodhounds seeking and finding tendrils like the one I have here in other locations in the underworld. I'm not thinking it's gonna be actual like ghost dogs that I'm creating or anything like that, but that's sort of the
you have the ability to make ghosts, my guy. If you want that kind of like, because that's it's a knowing spell, but it's dynamic, right? It's following.
Yeah,
I can see that, but that's that's knowledge thrust into your mind of this is where they all are. And
I know there's gonna be clashes of wills and things like that to get because they're all gonna be veiled.
Yep. They're veiled from sight. I don't know that they would necessarily
be veiled from this. Yeah, because right, I'm actually this, happy. Yeah.
And this is knowledge, right? Not necessarily somebody seeing them. So I'm not
sure. Yeah, that's true. I don't need to perceive them, I just need to know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, let's see what we can do about a dynamic spell to hunt down these things in the underworld.
Okay, cool. Are you doing this while flying and invisible?
No, I'm going to go back down to Thomas.
Okay, gotcha. Who is currently kind of doing the John Travolta meme of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll drop the fly in the invisibility.
Mm-hmm. And just start suddenly there beside him, and he kind of jumps and goes, welcome back.
Thanks.
You have a skull.
And
technically two.
Yep. Yes, he's very funny. And Sol sort of reacts, oh, yeah, I do. Because her mind is whirling.
Sure.
Would you, in consideration of the cost I paid to make that key for you, would you extend me the courtesy of watching over me for a time?
Depends on time.
Yeah, it shouldn't take very long. Do I want to do this here? I kind of have to do this here. Yeah. Let's hike a good ways away from the Orcus place.
Sure. I imagine you guys have already hoofed it a good bit. But yeah, that like itch at the back of the, you know, between these shoulder blades. It's like, okay, you know, let's just and go.
Make sure we're not being followed or stalked. There's sure. no ghosts trailing us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You keep... I've done some things that might have alerted folks. I want to make sure I'm not being tracked.
Yeah. You say as you have a skull with a large dollop on its forehead dragging yeah. up. Yeah.
I know. This is probably
it just idea. Makes you feel a little better. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, Legba would tell you it doesn't matter where you go. You're where you are. You're walking around with your connection. Yeah. But yeah, Thomas is that yeah, that's fine. And like you see him like actually look a little nervous for the first time and like hands rest on his holsters. And then after a moment, kind of jiggles them and kind of pulls them out. And just like he's trying to be subtle about it, you know, but he definitely just draws his pistols and has them hanging down next to his thighs. Not drawn up, not pointing at anybody, but they're just already drawn. Sure. What are we expecting?
I honestly don't know.
Cool, that makes me feel better.
I'm being honest. Hopefully nothing.
Hopefully nothing, he says as he like finds a rock and like very, you know, 70s act, you know, Western movie, hunkers down behind it, you know, looking around.
Okay, let's do an Imperial magic spell.
Sure. Well, on the plus side, you're doing it in the underworld, so you don't even have to worry about the Pax Arcana. Mm-hmm. And you're not even affecting anybody except yourself. You're just going to draw knowledge. Yeah. In my head, what I'm imagining is knowledge of where these things are, well, where this thing is, and the dynamic spell being, and all the things that are tied to it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Again, that's technically I guess it is a Death 6 spell because it is dynamics, but that's kind of funky stuff.
And because I'm aware that there might be differences in the webbing or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's I'm thinking that's where the dynamics come right. in.
Right. Follows the thing and to the next thing like it, mm-hmm. on and on it goes. Not that it really matters for us, but go ahead and subtract some mana. I believe it is, yeah, 2 mana for a dynamic spell. Yeah, okay. Just reviewing all the stuff that dynamics can do to make sure we're on the same page. Your awareness, actually it's not even awareness because your senses aren't traveling, but there is this little section in the back of your head, right, where it's like, yeah, I know where this is, and it tendrils up to from Orcus's forge, and like the tendril, even though you pulled it from above the forge, definitely has this, I'm tied to Orcus's forge. Mm-hmm. And using that as kind of your guideline, it's like, okay, and what else are you connected to? As it kind of works its way, you know, the idea of the web works pretty well. And it spreads. And considering we're, you know, what we're dealing with here in the underworld, and the fact that we are using death for a dynamic spell, not like prime, right? I'm only going to, I'm not going to tell you. Solace gets all the stuff that is tied to death in the underworld. Not just all the anchors ever. Though that, man, if we had prime six.
Yeah, her goal here was to map out the underworld.
Sure, she's right.
Leaving the others to do the other parts.
Yep. And you get walloped with all the things that it's attached to. And then, like, mentally ignore maybe, like, 80% of it. Because it's like, oh, I'm, you know, this tied to this thing in Orcus's Forge and this thing in Orcus's Forge. It's like, okay, right, that's Orcus's Forge. Okay. That all gets categorized in there. And so all you have all, talking to Craig, all the different files, and everybody goes, you get into this file folder and you get into this file. We're going to categorize. And so, yeah, you pick up, I'll say, a solid dozen different anchor points within the underworld right now. Spread across a bunch of different places that you could name, but don't necessarily know where they are. But having the knowledge of them, the names of them, even some, like, you know, flavors of them, you know, in the case of Orcus's Forge, okay, I'm tied into something of, you know, workmanship and crafting and stuff like that. You have a bunch of them, and I'm not going to list them all out because I don't have a list of the dozen different locations in the other world, but
sure. I did probably specify this because it's dynamics. If there's changes, my intention is to be aware of those. Is that
sure? As long as the spell is active. Yeah.
And as they're added or deleted, that knowledge comes with me.
Yep. But it remains an active spell, which does mean that it is something that another mage can find. And bears your signature Nimbus. Heck, anybody who goes and looks at this will see your signature Nimbus, even a little while from now, I think, with Gnosis 6.
So am I leaving my signature Nimbus on all of these anchor points?
Yep. Yeah, everything that is touched by this spell.
Okay, can Prime alter a Nimbus?
Sure. Usually done before you cast a spell.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Craig is not a master of Prime, even though
And you can even cleanse away. Now, the big trick here, though, is it is a limited duration, and somebody scrutinizing this needs to scrutinize to even notice your mark on it. And then they get your Nimbus, which, as you have seen with the serpents, tells you a little bit about the person. Doesn't go and Solace of Darkness, which actually we probably should review whether or not her Nimbus has changed since becoming an Archmaster.
Second Awakening? Yeah, for sure.
So there's not a big, like, index somewhere that has Solace of Darkness's Nimbus down, because she's a not very different person, but she's definitely a different person than Babasira. And so if anybody has experienced that Nimbus, they may not connect it to Solace. But yeah.
Okay. And I'm imagining if I had this, you know, like, would have taken a ritual duration?
Yeah, about an hour or so. Actually, your ritual duration is considerably less than that now that you have Gnosis 6. I think we're above... no, I don't want this. I want Gnosis page. Gnosis 6, yeah, we're down to 30 minutes. So, yeah, a solid half hour where you are meditating, going through this, calling on the...
And, like, just for flavor, I think Theo would have, like, created a magic circle around herself.
Oh, yeah.
And there's made it indents and stuff like that too.
Yeah. You have half an hour. You might as well put your body to some use other than just technically being able to sit catatonically, just staring at a wall to do this spell. You might as well use your body, right? So yeah, drawing it out and then drawing from the quintessence of the wedding ring, which, by the way, was a wonderful, wonderful use of the idea of the betrayal and, you know, getting something to betray its secrets. That was very good. Pulling that down from your golden road to empower the spell as it then washes across the entirety of the underworld, which the underworld is not infinite any more than the astral is. It's just really big. And finding these basically 12 bright points of connection, the big solid points. And like you said, they could add more in the future. So that sounds like you're going to keep that spell active for now.
And now, yes.
Okay. Cool.
So when it's over, I think Theo's solace is sort of a cautiously satisfied look on her face as she turns to Thomas. Thank you for your help. Would you return me to our point of departure?
He grins at you and says, well, I don't think we ever made any transaction about taking you back up. But there's this little grin on his face, and you know, then
and Solas is just waiting for him to finish. Yeah. Let him enjoy this.
And you know, there's a bit of a shrug as he kind of looks up the beach one way and up the beach the other, and it's like, I've got this boat, but I don't see many passengers here to pick up, so I guess we'll have you along this one time. And
she gives him like a little bow of thanks.
Yeah. Walks over to the river, Luntra, to open the boat, boards it, you know, the gentlemanly hand into the boat, and sails up the river. And while I do appreciate the mirroring of that, I mean, you don't have to go back up that way.
I know, I could just go right to my golden road.
Yeah.
But Solas doesn't want to carry the skull with her. So I'm thinking I'm going to leave it in my fortress.
Okay, there is that. You also have the spell active. You do not need the skull, nor the skull to be connected.
That's great. Then I will let it go.
Yeah, this would be similar to, you know, casting a, you know, not a knowing spell of an area.
Right.
You know, and then walking away from the area. You don't have to be touching. The spell is active.
Okay.
Right.
Good, good.
So yeah, on the boat ride up, I imagine Solas is like, looks down at the skull that she's just been carrying and then kind of looks at
it, waves a hand over it
underneath this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And away it goes, the tendril, and then can tuck Ollie's skull back in the satchel, where it belongs. And, all right.
Yeah. It feels appropriate to do the ritual of circling back to where it started.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, make sure that Thomas gets back to a river city and kind of conclude your business with him.
Yeah.
And Weeping Hunter. Very good. Well, in that case, you make your way back to Purgatory Bluff.
I want to, before I bid farewell to Thomas, I understand that you are a bit of a rogue, perhaps. But I think you're not a, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're not a bad person.
He smiles. I've never said anything that might suggest that I am a bad person. I just, well, I like to get paid for my services. I'm a wanted man, which may suggest that I'm bad. But also, I am a burden.
You are a burden.
How much do you know about sin eaters?
I know a bit.
You know what happens when we die?
Yes.
They tell me that the deaths I see were deaths that were already going to happen. But how do you really know that? Maybe they would have had another day. Maybe they wouldn't have died.
I understand.
Doesn't happen down here. Down here, if I die, I die, but...
You're not trading places with anyone?
Nope.
There is a place where I guess it's like a dominion where ghosts who agree to work for me would never have to worry about essence. I haven't met many travelers down here besides you. In the course of your travels, feel free to share that information as you, if you find somebody who might need a hand.
He smiles
and feel like being generous.
He does it, and like you can see, he went from a like kind of lean away, doesn't want to be recruited thing. It's like, I don't need essence. I don't need to be for right. And then smiles. He's like, ah, okay. And like, kind of, and there's a look back over his shoulder. Well, he's looking over his shoulder to look at you, but then farther back, actually, no, I guess you'd be sitting up front, looks back towards Orcus's forge and nods and goes, yeah. Yeah, if I'm feeling generous or they pay right. And see, you know. Gondola. I don't think gondola is the action. Gondola is the boat. As he pushes your way up the river. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just there is a cost, right? I need them to be working for me, but I'm not going to be taking parts of them.
He nods. It's like, hey, I'll let them know they have options. Everything has a cost down here.
I am glad to have met you, Thomas.
We're glad to have met you too. And he like pats the...
And she says the same to... Yeah.
Yeah. I am interpreting Craig is talking to...
Yeah, she's always including him, the Weeping Hunter, in the conversations. Right? I'm glad to have met both of you.
Yeah, but... And specifically, Thomas is saying, we are glad to have met you. Because he does speak in a lot of I statements. But yeah, we're glad to have met you, and like taps that pistol, and it'll go well. I did expect to, you know, maybe weasel a few more keys out of you, but I'll take one and a boat that'll last me 2 months.
What's some answers? If you have questions, I'll answer them.
I don't think I can pay your prices.
I'm just offering the knowledge. If you have questions, I'll answer them. As a mark of gratitude for your companionship.
He smiles as you play into the payment, right? You guys have some casual little conversation. He doesn't ask about your power. He asks more about, honestly, Theodosia. Though he doesn't address it that way. You know, he's still addressing you as Kalo. But Yeah, it's just, you know, who are you up topside? Are you actually alive? You know, family who's still alive? Oh, that's cool. Oh, you're married to a woman. Huh. You have a daughter. Huh.
A widow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, he'd eventually get there. But the I imagine, you know, the family. Oh, yeah, I've got a wife. Okay. And a daughter. Okay, hang on. Pause. Work, yeah. I've already seen you do some weird stuff, you know, but okay. That makes a lot more sense. So you have a conversation and it is it's very surface. It's very clear, like, he's not trying to dig into your powers. He's not trying to dig into anything deep, but it's very much Uber driver. Right. Conversation. Yeah, but compared to the ride down where he was a little bit quieter and terse and, you know, he's definitely opened up a little bit, especially since it's clear, A, you could handle a tableau, and B, we're also not a fan of Orcus's Forge. It's like, OK, this is somebody who is good. Right. Because, I mean, you showed up cloaked, hooded, dressed in all black. So you guys continue your conversation until he pulls into the River City.
And I think that's a goodbye.
Okay.
In the River City, there were people that were helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people in conversation and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think Theo's going to try and visit them briefly before she leaves to just let them know that there's a place
mm-hmm.
where there's essence.
Yeah. That and I'm A-OK with Solace doing that, but it's definitely in hushed, quiet tones, because at the end of the day, the what do I call them, the triad, are going to be, you know, kind of, you know, they don't want people leaving. Right. So it would have to be, you know, this quiet thing where, hey, just to let you know, just up that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Visit with people, talk to a couple people. Of course, Thomas Elliott now is aware. And of course, you gave him, because this is the nearest River City. So it's, you know, not necessarily, oh, just go straight up north, you know, but it's, you know, it's off that way. You can find it. And, you know, it's not even ask for Ollie, because Ollie's not even necessarily staying there. Ollie's out recruiting too. So, okay. Cool. And
head to the fortress. Mm-hmm. And then I guess back to Purgatory Bluff.
All right. Very good.
I don't know how long I've actually been down here.
Very good. I was actually just about to bring that up. So you had hang on here. First come down on the first, and then that night, the following night, talked to Valogia and Catherine, and then the morning of the third came down here, and now the night of the fourth, you are returning to Purgatory Bluff.
Oh.
So time...
That's a lot less time than I thought.
It was, and that may have been Craig's thought. For Solace, this definitely also, it felt like shorter. So time is a bit askew going up and down.
Yeah, I thought we would have been on the river for a while before we got to the like Dominion zone.
Yep.
Okay.
The travel up and down the rivers gets kind of funky because they don't seem to last as long, or maybe they're shorter than they should be. Yeah. But that's a little bit of the disruption. Keeping track of my timey-wimey stuff. Very good. But won't let you know too much of what's going on, because folks on YouTube might not know. There be the end of Solace's journeys into the underworld to locate God Machine Anchors, established a underworld fortress where Goose can come dedicate themselves to her nefarious master, you know, mistresshood of the dark, and you know, then be free. Yeah, very good stuff. YouTube folks, I don't know all what you know.
Because we don't know what schedule these are going to be released on.
Exactly. Because I think I might not do you guys like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. I'm wondering, potentially, we'll see how everything lines up when I'm finished recording the last player. But I wonder if I might manage to actually release these chronologically. Depending on where people are and start and stuff, because I have that kind of laid out. So we'll see once we're done recording with everybody. But very, very good. I guess folks at home will know that today was October 31st, which is technically, let's see here, do some math. I'm not going to, but you know, it was October 31st when the coven met with the architect and released themselves upon the world. And here we are in the RLs doing stuff. And I've heard multiple candy seekers, so hopefully I will not have leftover candy. So as a special closing, y'all folks at YouTube land in the comments, let us know what you dressed up with for Halloween. Did you do anything fun for Halloween? Did you get any cool candy? Did you give away any cool candy? Were you the cool house that gave away the full-size candy bars? Let us know down in the comments. Thanks. And then, if you want to join us on Discord, www.eatinto.space, come hang out,
really chat with us. It's a great community, very friendly, very welcoming.
Yep. And you don't even have to talk about Mage. You can talk about your favorite TTRPG. You can try and pressure us to run your favorite TTRPG. Good luck. The size of my backlog of games I want to run alone, not including the rest of the team. Ash, I still owe a Warhammer 40K game so she can play an Elder. Like, the list is huge. But hey, you can let us know what your favorite game is. Tell us about the games that you've run. Ask questions about other stuff, because weirdly enough, while we were built on Mage, a lot of people know a lot of stuff. So somebody might be able to answer your question. And then if you do want to support us monetarily, that's www.staylucky.club. We will we'll catch you next time. Bye.